I hope you don't mind if I take a bit of a different direction this morning. But I'd like to just share with you from my heart and provide some hope and encouragement from the Scriptures and from our Lord, as I will also, and I know you will, offer to Scotty and the family. When I got the phone call this morning and headed to the hospital, that's about a 15-minute drive unless you do some things. Judy told me as I was heading out the door, just be careful and get there. And so, but all the way there, I was just praying, Lord, give me the words. Lord, give me the words. Lord, give me the words. Because that's all you're asking for at a time like that. But I must be honest with you, as I sat there in the room with Scotty and Dylan and Delinda, the silence was unbelievable because there were no words. There were just no words. And as I sat there, I continued to pray, Lord, let me say something that can stem the tide. Let me say something that ministers. Let me say something. But it wasn't there. But I asked Scotty if I could pray with her. And then I asked her if I could pray with her again. And so we prayed twice, just right there in a few minutes. David and Kim walked in and we prayed. And those were the words. But then as I drove home and began thinking about this morning, I knew the sermon that we had was not necessarily the one that was appropriate or what we needed right now. That sermon will serve its time at some point. And so I began to pray. And again, I asked, Lord, give me the words. And I will confess to you, I am lost. Of exactly where and how and what to say. And I think you know me well enough, I'm typically not a loss of words, so. But how can you put this into manageable words? How can you put this in manageable emotions? As I got back home and early this morning, I called all of the guys that Todd played golf with. Kent and Harvey and Andy and Adrian and Frank and the others. I'm sorry all the names, but and to a man. There was a gasp. And few words. Because what can you say? At times like this, we think we say things that are out of line. We think we say things that are dumb. Or we say things that are just wrong. No. You want to respond somehow. And you don't know. So I went inside. I went on the front porch, and that swing is medicine. God has spoken a lot. And he took me to the story of Lazarus. Jesus and Lazarus. And then he took me to Isaiah. And then on to 2 Corinthians. So I don't have anything great to say this morning, but I simply want to take you through those passages. And let the Holy Spirit minister to you and fill you. Because there will be a time, maybe today, maybe next week, maybe a month from now, You'll have that moment with Scotty. You'll have that moment with Dylan and Garrett and Jacob. And it's not so much that we say the right thing. We know that. It's not so much we say the right thing, but we're there. And we're there with the warmth of the Lord. And it may be one of you that God prepares that has exactly the words structured that are the words that Scotty, Dylan, Garrett, Merle, Lynn, Michelle, Dylan, the kids, all of them need to hear. And that's what we are as a church. Tony brought this out earlier. That's what we are as a church. It's not one person ministering. It's all of us. We're all pastors. We're all ministers to the families when they're in need. And so I just pray the Holy Spirit will talk to us. Join me in John chapter 11. I'm going to read most of the chapter to you. And what we're looking for here is the Holy Spirit to speak to us. But ask the question, when Jesus was in a similar place, what did He do? When Jesus was faced with issues that were overwhelming, what did He do? I think we'll find one here. John 11:1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped His feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one You love is sick." When He heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He stayed where he was 2 more days. Then He said to His disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone You, and yet You are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, but he sees by the world's light, for he sees by the world's light. It is when he walks by night and he stumbles, for he has no light." After He had said this, He went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of His death, but His disciples, though, thought He meant natural sleep. So then He told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you were always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. This is the story of Lazarus. You've studied it. You've read it. You've heard it. In a time such as we're going through now, in a time such as the family is going through now, there are just so many questions. Scotty this morning just repeated time and again, I don't understand. It's not fair. I don't understand. It's not fair. We were not finished. The forever had not yet occurred and on. We want answers. But in times like this, there are no good answers that will please. Here in the story I just read, Mary and Martha had questions. Jesus, why did you not come? Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They understood who Jesus was. They understood him to be the Son of God. But yet they asked, why did you not come? Knowing that he could have healed, he could have stopped it. But here's the hard part. Jesus intentionally stayed away. So Lazarus would die. Why? 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 You see, there are those who would call death evil. I heard it in a sermon this week. It is true that the wages of sin is death. We learned that from Paul in Romans. But Paul is speaking of the spiritual death, because the wages of sin, of course, is the spiritual death, that separation from Jesus Christ for all eternity. That is death beyond any reason and understanding. But death in a physical fashion, I believe, is only an instrument of God. It is used at His discretion. It is set and given for each of us long before any of us walked the face of this earth. This day for Todd McCulloch was set long, long ago. And so I cannot look at death as evil. I look at it as hard. I look at it with a lot of questions. I have many questions of my own. But yet it is an instrument of God to fulfill, to accomplish, to do whatever our Lord desires. We are His. And just as He told His disciples that He let Lazarus die so that the glory of God could be seen in this, He let Lazarus die so He could teach His disciples and the people around Him see that he was indeed the Son of God who had authority over life and death. And all he had to do, just like he created the world and all of creation with a spoken word, he brought Lazarus back alive with just a word. Come out, Lazarus. And so here in this time, just like Mary and Martha, we will have questions and they will go unanswered. But yet our faith calls us to say, Lord, please help me. But above all, let me depend on you and all of this for your glory. Now, you will not go there immediately in the time following someone's passing. You will not. You will be angry. You will be sad. You will hurt. You will cry. You will anguish. Many of you know this firsthand. You go back immediately to the passing of a loved one, and it flows over you just like it happened today. And it's all there again. And you say, Lord, take me through this as well. Because you see, the thing of all of this is that we try to answer these questions, and we even ask our questions in our own intelligence and in our own wisdom. And we try to find answers in our wisdom, and we cannot. Because death, life, and living, yes, it is physical, but it's eternal. It has eternal implications, and only God knows eternity. There was purpose in Lazarus' passing. There is purpose in our passing. It is up to us, in faith, to hold on to God in the hardest of times. Cry out. Shake your fist at Him. Holler at Him. Yell at Him. I told Scotty this morning as I hugged her, I said, if you need to yell at somebody, you need to beat up somebody, you call me. Because I could probably get in there with it pretty good. Because we won't find the answers we're looking for. But God is there. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. This is a plea from the prophet Isaiah to the nation of Israel, but it is a plea to those who are searching. It is a plea to those who are looking for answers, who are desiring to be fed. Verse 6 of 55 said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. 2 points I'd like to make here. First of all, verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Several men I talked to this morning as I called them on the phone said, as you've heard many times, when it's your time, when it's the time, that's it. There's no negotiating. There's no bargaining. There's no, well, wait, what if? There's none of that. This is it. And God's gracious favor, Todd was ready to meet this day. And we are so thankful for that. At some point in time in Todd's life, he sought the Lord when the Lord could be found for him. And he sought Him out. He followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he confessed his sins and he repented. And he acclaimed and acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Folks, if there's anyone in this room, young, old, you're not too old, and I don't think you're too young either to reason these things out. Seek the Lord while He may be found, because there will come a point in time when your finding time will end. And as the Scripture tells us, as death finds you, so shall the judgment. Because there will be a time when that time ends. And I want that for you, because I want you to enjoy the wonder of heaven. I want you to be able to stand in front of Jesus Christ and go, "Ah, that's what you look like." We probably ain't got a clue in all the pictures we fabricate. I want you to know the love and the glory and the graciousness that is in all of that. I want you to know that personally. But also, I want you to know that for your family. Because one day you will pass away, and there will be family members left. And there will be men like me who come to your family and offer words of comfort, offer words of encouragement, offer prayers. There will be people who come alongside them and hug them and write cards. And there will be Jesus and Holy Spirit and God all over them. And it'll mean something to them because you are a believer. But if you're not, there are no words. It is over. Done. You ever been to a funeral of a non-believer? It's the saddest thing you'll ever experience. Because what hope do you have? What hope is there? So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I know Todd would stand right here with me. He'd want me to have an altar call. Right now. Seek the Lord in the time that He may be found, because there will be one day when that time is no more. If you ever want to pray with me, one of these elders, a person sitting next to you, your spouse, and you say, I don't know Jesus Christ. Oh, music to my ears, because that means the Holy Spirit is there, pulling you in. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. The second point out of this short passage, verse 8. And this is the line that ends all conversation. This is the line that ends all questions. "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways," says the Lord. There's nothing else to be said. There's nothing else to be said. Life and death belong to the hands of our God. That's it. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, this is where the church steps in. This is where you, the church, the body of Christ, step in. And you become pastors. You become ministers. You become the one that may be carrying the message that Scotty, Dylan, Garrett, Jacob, Merle, Lynn, Delinda, Michelle, any one of the family members, you might be the one. Because you walk the path. Similar. Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Every time I go to this passage, I've shared it with you before, but this is a passage my dad sent me. In his very feeble left-handed writing, he wrote the whole thing out for me. I still have it. Verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we," note this, God comforts us in our troubles so that we "can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. The message there is so simple, yet so profound. God is the God of all comfort and compassion. He comforts us. He has compassion toward us in our times of trial and trouble. Why? Because He wants us to depend on Him. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to hold on to Him and Him find a way through this. He is the only one you can go to in times like this. But then also, we as the church, because we have felt God's comfort, because we have felt God's compassion, because God ministered to you when your loved one passed away, because God ministered to you when your time of trouble came, you go, God, you carried me through that time. I felt your prayers. I felt your hand. I felt your love. I felt your comfort. Now let me go and share that and give testimony. Let me sit there and hold the hand. Let me sit there and just sit there in the quiet. Because God intends His church to be the body of Christ. And just like Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus and said, come up and out of there, we can go and live in the hope of the resurrection. If your loved one that has passed on before you could say anything to you, what do you think they would say? All of you probably have thought that. My old mentor, Dr. Kick, he had a sermon, the first 5 minutes in heaven. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that would be like? No, I can't. But I'd like to go there. Sometimes it's enough to just go sit with someone and sit. I want each of you to pray. Say, Lord, use me. Am I the one? How can I? Several of you have already asked me, how can I go and minister to the family? I know you will. And when the questions come, do not burden yourself with having the answers. Tell your story. Tell the story of the love and the compassion Jesus Christ expressed to you. And live that testimony of faith before the people. Because they are groping, they are searching, they are reaching out for anything. Anything that they can grab a hold of that makes sense for just a moment. For just a moment. Why did Lazarus die? So that his death would be used to bring glory to God. Why did my Marley pass away? So that her passing could bring glory to God. Why did your spouse pass away? So that through that somehow, some way, glory would be brought to God. Why did your mom, your grandmother pass away? So that her life, her story somehow could be put together in words and you have the testimony now that would bring glory to God. Folks, we need to have Christ's eyes here. We need to have Christ's heart here. Not ours. His. And give that out. New Sterling is one of the most caring, compassionate, loving, warm churches I have ever been around. Reverend Tim Robinson, when he came in last Sunday evening, some of you met him in the parking lot. I got a note from him this week. He said the same thing. He said, you guys are the most loving, warm people he'd ever met. All right, now we have opportunity. Take that and let God work in us and use that to everyone around you in the time of our need.